Welcome into the CHGO White Sox post-game show, coming to you live from Studio A of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. Alongside me, Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him at EchnerWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. You can follow the show at CHGO_White Sox. We're being produced today by Sarah.
Hello.
Hello. And if you're wondering where Vinny Duber is, he made the smart choice to take the day off and go watch the eclipse and be totally, what's it called? I don't even know.
Covered? I don't know.
Not covered.
Total eclipse?
No, but what's the...
What the word?
Disconnected?
No, not disconnected.
Did he take his glasses off?
Complete totality.
Okay.
Totality of the sun. Did he take his glasses off? I don't know. He didn't text us because he's not watching White Sox baseball because he doesn't care. He did get his pick in for click to pick.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully. I might not, you know, have great vision as you see me wearing glasses, but man, after that game, I want to go back in time and maybe look at that sun a little bit more. Under the eclipse, because man, I don't want to watch any more White Sox games. But
I tried.
Unfortunately, 152 more. Damn it,
152 left.
Yeah, that sucks.
I tried telling you guys, yeah. Like, hey, could I stare at the sun tomorrow? And you guys like, no, you'll burn your eyes out.
But I get it. But also, we want you to see for the rest of your life. You know, the White Sox thing is only for 152 more games.
The next eclipse is 2044.
Yes.
Will the White Sox win a game by 2044?
No.
Okay.
Will they get a hit by then?
I mean, no. I mean, hey, the hits.
A run, sorry.
Yeah, a run. I mean, the hits have been fine. I mean, today, I mean, they got one more hit than I wrote down. I wrote this down before the game was even final. Stupid me. 6 walks, 4 hits. That's 10 base runners and 4 Ks. The White Sox lose 4-0 in their 4th shutout of the year?
Correct.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and
they're leading the Major League Baseball in a category.
Hey. And I think they're last in on-base percentage, too, even though they had 6 walks today. And that should tell you the story. Tristan McKenzie was not good.
I don't know if it's still true, but even the fact that it's still close, they as a team are hitting under the Mendoza line.
Yeah.
As a team, they're hitting worse than 200.
Yeah, and I know people are going to, like, when it's looked back in history and a couple of years from now, people are like, well, they lost Luis Robert Jr. for such and such months, so that's why they didn't hit.
No,
when Luis was here, they weren't hitting either. Neither was Aloy. So I know that when it's looked back in history, people are like, yes, they lost good hitters, but we know that that's not true. This team is just offensively challenged. The manager is terrible. Like, what are we doing? The general manager fed us a bunch of lies. Yeah, you don't like this team. We don't like the team either. It's just terrible. And they talk about this AL Central. We play
the elephant in the room
is that we play in the AL Central. They're 0-8. They scored 13 runs in the 8 games they played versus this damn terrible division. And they're getting housed by every one of them. The Tigers are housing them. The Royals are housing them. Now it's the Guardians' turn. I'm guarantee you the Twins got their fork and knife ready. Like, man, can't wait till those 12 or 13 games with the White Sox. Free games. Free wins.
Absolutely. And Luis Robert Jr. is joining us in the chat. Luis Robert Jr., 1234. You know that's him because obviously he got, you know, the 4th account named Luis Robert Jr. But boys, how are we going to make it through the season? I think by drinking a lot for at least you. And I think I missed my opportunity. My way to get through the season was staring at the eclipse and going blind. I can hear baseball. You know, we can listen on the radio. I can't watch this team anymore. I thought Blank Name had a pretty decent comment up there by saying, don't be like the White Sox. Hit the like button. But the White Sox would miss the like button if they were asked to hit it. So don't be like the White Sox.
Oh,
prove that you're better than people making $75 million over 5 years and hit that like button. We'd appreciate it. It's 16 runs in 10 games, as you said, 1.6 runs per game. 11 of those 16 runs have come on 7 homers. They've gotten 2 homers from Paul DeJong. They've gotten a homer from Corey Lee. They've gotten a homer from Braden Shoemake. They've gotten a homer from Gavin Sheets. And then 2 from Luis Robert. You take those home runs away, and they've scored 5 runs.
Yeah.
I mean, they are just pathetic when it comes to runners in scoring position. I know that you have something on Vaughn a little later.
Yep.
But here are the Sox with runners in scoring position today, because Tristan McKenzie wasn't great. No. Tristan McKenzie didn't have his best stuff. This wasn't sticks that we saw striking out 13 or 14 White Sox, but he still had a nice day. In the first, Moncada had a single, then he stole second, and then Sheets lined out and Vaughn popped up. There was the end of the threat. No runs scored by the White Sox. In the second, Fletcher doubled, then Shoemake grounded out, and then Corey Lee lined out to center. In the fifth, Corey Lee walked, Robbie Grossman walked, both runners advanced on a wild pitch. They have runners on second and third. Moncada grounds out to first. And then in the sixth, Benintendi singled, Fletcher walk, and here comes Paul DeJong swinging and missing at another fastball. It's just revolting at this point. Like, I understand the defense has been improved. You could say the culture has been improved, but I don't really know if, like, there's fighting going on, but I don't really know if they're kind of pulling in the same direction either. And the pitching's been upgraded.
Yeah.
I'll at least give them that. Chris Getz said that he wanted to upgrade the pitching. The pitching's getting absolutely no help. I mean, when you have Tanner Banks looking like Pedro Martinez in the first two innings, I mean, Tanner Banks is probably looking at all these hitters and like, guys, let's step up. Let's do something. I mean, I don't even know what it is at this point. I don't know if it's organizational issues where it comes to, you know, rushing up players and them not being developed. I don't know if it has to do with new hitting coach Marcus Thames or not. It's just pathetic. At this point, you didn't spend enough on your ball team.
Correct.
You didn't put enough effort on into your ball club, and you're seeing the results. I mean, they're 1-9, 0-8 against the AL Central. I know that we're kind of repeating talking points, but we didn't expect this. I think I wrote that down that you said, worse than I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, I predicted them to win 61 games, and I thought that it would be historically bad if they lost 55 or less. I think we said 15 out of 1,500 teams since 1962 when they implemented the 162 schedule, and not including 2020 and then 1994 when they had shortened seasons. Only 15 teams have won 55 games or less. Like, they're that bad.
Yeah, they are. And I don't know. Let's see. I'm trying to extrapolate. They will not. I mean, they barely might score 300 runs this game or this year.
No,
barely.
There's no way.
Barely. Like, I mean, it's, you know, they're going to go over. If it's 1.6 times 162, they're going to score more than 300. But they're facing the AL Central for the most part. Imagine when they actually face the hard teams, when the teams that actually can pitch.
Their only win came against the Braves. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and
they need the competition.
They just needed one of the great performances by the guy who's pitching lights out. He's given up, what, four runs this year? They just need him to just, you know, look great and only give up the Ozuna home run. And I'm talking about Garrett Crochet. He can't pitch every day, guys. And they only scored 3 runs in that game. It was 3-2 win. So it wasn't even like they were kicked ass. The game that they scored all the runs and they were up 6-2 in that game versus Kenta Maeda, they lost 7-6 because they stopped hitting after the fourth inning. Like, this is a spiraling shit show. Like, it's getting worse before it's going to get better. They got months without Luis Robert. They got a couple more games without Eloy Jimenez. And I've praised the guy since he's had a good start to the season. I put those in quotes. But Yoan Moncada had a shit day in the field. Two errors, pretty easy plays. Like, one went right through his legs, and the other one he just short-armed and hit Andrew Vaughn like 5 feet in front of him and off the bag. If you're not interested, give somebody else a chance. These guys seem uninterested. 10 games into the season, you're professionals who are getting paid money. A lot of money to actually perform, and it seems like they don't care. I know they're not talented, but Tristan McKenzie was throwing out 91 mile per hour fastballs. Majority of his pitches, I think 63 of his 87 pitches were 91 mile per hour fastballs, and they couldn't do anything versus that dude. Nothing. You know it's bad when a guy who is just offering you every chance to crush him, and you're like, nah, we're fucking good. We're decent. Imagine when they face somebody better. What Tanner Beebe is going to do versus them. Imagine if they had fucking Shane Bieber. I guarantee, even with his torn Achilles, and if he has surgery tomorrow, he can come out and pitch Seven innings, no runs earned versus the White Sox.
I mean, you're even leaving out Logan Allen, who they'll face tomorrow. I mean, I bet Logan Allen will probably just go seven innings of shutout ball. I mean, it's that simple. You talk about McKenzie, too. Maxed out at 93.2 on his fastball, averaged 91.3.
Slow. And
there was only two whiffs from the Sox on 29 swings. We'll take that. But how many left the park?
Zero.
Yeah, and then also 15 balls in play on that pitch alone, and the White Sox just weren't able to do the damage. And he was not perfect. Did you mention he walked a ton of guys, really didn't have elite stuff, and the Sox just got walked over. It's not even more than pathetic. I mean, you bring up the actual effort level of the team. I think at this point, we just have to question the true talent. I mean, Dominic Fletcher has never played a full season in Major League Baseball, and he's now your center fielder with the Luis Robert Jr. injury. Right field is now Robbie Grossman, who wasn't even on the team like a week before the season started.
At least he drew some walks today.
Yeah, hey, I would love to see him hit the ball, too.
That'd be great.
Gavin Sheets is now a budding star, according to John Schriffen, because Eloy Jimenez got hurt. And let's check in on Gavin Sheets. We've all thought highly of him coming into the 2024 season.
No one did.
Oh, okay. And who is he fighting for a position with in spring training?
Eloy Jimenez? What? Oh, no, fucking Mike Moustakas. Yeah,
36-year-old Mike Moustakas. So I don't think Gavin Sheets is a budding star. Nicky Lopez can't hit or steal. Braden Shumate can't field a ball that's hit to him.
And he can't hit.
Yeah. Paul DeYoung's got two homers. We'll take that. But he also somehow can't hit. He just whiffs on every fastball that's thrown in the zone. The catcher situation is pretty horrendous, even to the point where I'm ready to defend Corey Lee.
Thank you.
Who had five hits last year. And then in left field, saving the best for last, my guy, Andrew Benintendi, who, hey, he's gotten some hits. He had a single earlier. He had a walk. So, past two games for Ben, he's been great. But I think Jim Cook mentioned that his OPS plus was -5 before today's game, and league average is 100. Mm. So he is 105 times worse. I think that's how that math works. I guess not. He is, 1.05 times worse than an average major league hitter.
Yes.
It is one of the most offensive baseball teams that I've ever had to watch. And it's not even on Pedro Grifol, as people are starting to call him. Kind of hate that nickname.
Yeah, I mean,
You guys are forcing it.
I mean, you could just say his regular name, and then people, you know, his name already speaks for itself.
Right.
This is another loss for him. There's 110 losses now for him and 62 wins. He's out here. He's out here doing things. But, like, so, and the thing I'm going to hear from him, guys are fighting. Guys are battling in the cage. Like, and he's going to say, it's early. No, it's not. All these games count. And all these games are in your division for the most part, except for two. And you're getting house bum. The division, while bad, has 35 runs scored in 8 games. 35. That's 4.5 runs per game. The White Sox scoring 1.5 per game. You ain't going to win. This team, like, that Cleveland team is Jose Ramirez, and that's it. And, again, I don't know how many times. Does Mike work? Is it working, Sarah?
I think so.
Are the White Sox watching?
I hope so.
Come here. Come here, White Sox. Never, and I mean never, pitch to Jose Ramirez. That is his 32nd home run in his career. The most of any opponent he has faced. 32nd home run versus the White Sox. Stop pitching to him. Let somebody else on the Guardians beat you for one goddamn time. Jesus Christ. Like, they're hard-headed as fuck. I know there's a guy occupying first. But this guy keeps on proving to you every time you face him. If he's not knocking out Tim, he's knocking the ball over the fucking fence. So I don't understand. They don't have a game plan that says, let's not face Jose Ramirez. Let's not pitch to him.
No, they're fine pitching to him.
And every time he kills, and every time he go against Brian Buxton, I think he has 17 home runs in his career 19. Versus the White Sox, 19 versus the White Sox in his career, every damn time. Irritating.
If we look at the leader since 2015, J-Ram has 32, Miguel Sano has 23. Polanco has 21. Donaldson has 20. Cruz, Buxton, and Carlos Santana have 19. I mean, he has 9 more homers than the next opponent. Miguel Sano doesn't even play for the Twins anymore.
No.
I mean, he went to Mexico and came back and is now in L.A., finally playing with a major league team. Nelson Cruz isn't in the league anymore.
No.
Josh Donaldson isn't in the league anymore. Yeah. We need to study the 2019 Twins. Like, what the hell were they eating? And what the hell were those balls doing to that team? But Jose Ramirez proves that, A, you shouldn't pitch to him, no matter if you got the 2019 balls or the 2024 balls. He's just absurd. And again, I don't understand how you continue to just go and face this team and say, yeah, well, today will be different.
Yeah.
No, it won't.
No.
Your team sucks. Your team has zero major league talent. And when Tanner Banks is going out there impressing me, not trying to slander Tanner Banks, he's 32 years old and has been a lifelong AAA pitcher. And he went out, had his best game of his career, was fantastic today. But, like, that's not major league talent.
No.
Like, I really just don't understand how they're going to get through this year and not lose more than, like, 115 games. I mean, this is one of the worst baseball teams I've ever seen.
Yeah. And I hope... We know that we're not going to get a top 10 pick next year in the draft because of the rules where... We can't pick consecutively in the top 10 because of our market. But I hope that this bad year will lead to some people leaving. If it's the first and last year of Chris Getz, I'm in. If it's the first or the second and last year of Pedro Grifol, sign me up. That will be the only silver lining for this badass season, that people get fired, that there's accountability over there at 35th and Shields, and the owner doesn't just look down the hall and says, you're the new GM, where that guy was part of the problem for 7 years as the head of minor leagues in Chris Getz. Get somebody in here who's professional. Get somebody in here who can do the job. Kim Ng is available. Go and get her. God damn. Like, I know that this team is rotten from the head down, but he's not going anywhere. So get somebody who's qualified in here. I would take that. And they're not even calling this a rebuild. That's the thing that also irritates me. They're talking about, you know, they talk around it, revamp, all these other words.
No,
they
don't, hey, revamp's my word.
Oh, that's your word. That's but they don't word. Say this is a rebuild, which it is. They should just be honest with themselves. This is a rebuild, but it's going horribly. Horribly, because the people running it don't know what the fuck they're doing. And I'm sorry I'm cussing. These people are 1-9. And I got 152 more of these some bitches to watch. So if you're offended by my swearing, I'm sorry, but I'm going to be cussing a lot this year.
Well, and also, too, like, the reason why we created cuss words were to give, you know, emphasis.
Yes.
To give color to the language, and they fucking suck. Let's take a break. We will let you know about our great friends over at Line and Google and Circa. Also, shout out to Turd Ferguson in the chat, who ended up throwing out that this team might be worse than the 2023 A's, and that's absolutely true. They had 3 hitters that had an OPS plus of 120. I don't think the White Sox will have a hitter with an OPS plus over 100. Maybe Gavin, and that's a guy that I don't think had a has ever had a season with a plus OPS plus. So, I mean, it really looks bleaker than bleak.
We have 2 people in here with names that are part of the Jeopardy genre. I think Kiebert Zayla, that's from, I think it's Family Guy. And, of course, Turd Ferguson's from SNL's parody of that show.
That's a very good notice for you. Look at you. You're Jeopardy expert. All right, we're going to take a break. Herb's going to let you know about our friends over at Line and Google, and I'll let you know about our friends over at Circus Sports.
Nothing says summer to me than hanging out with your people, whether it's at a tailgate, at the ball game, then drinking a delicious Line and Google summer shandy, which I have in my hand right now. And it's the best out of the bottle, if you ask me. I know you're saying, Herb, hey, man, I love the ballpark, and I love this beautiful 70-degree day, so summer shandies are perfect for me. But what can I drink in the off-season when summer shandies are not available to me? I'm glad you asked. Berry Weiss is in that cooler right in front of you. They also have original lager, light lager, lakeside cherry, which we usually drink on the set, juicy peach, Berry Weiss, as I said, Northwest Amber, dark lager, and much, much more. And we're all usually enjoying a Honey Weiss here on set, which is made with real Wisconsin honey. So you know it's delicious. And if you tried any of their beers, you know that Leinenkugel brings the flavor for whatever occasion that you're celebrating. For over 150 years, Leinenkugel has combined German brewing traditions with Wisconsin innovation. You don't have to just pick one. Leinenkugel has popular variety packs that come in four flavors, so you can try and enjoy any of those. Flavor life's simple moments with Leinenkugels, the official craft beer of the Chicago White Sox. Go to Leine.com/CHGO to find delivery options near you. That's Leine.com/CHGO. Or pick up Leinenkugels pretty much anywhere that they sell beer. Flavor in the moment, Leinenkugel. Celebrate responsibly. The Jacob Leinen Brewing, the Jacob Leinenkugel Brewing Company, Chippewa Falls.
Yes. And we also want to let you know about our friends over at Circa Sportsbook. If you are looking for the place to bet the world's largest sportsbook, Circa Sportsbook has you hooked up. Download the Circa Sports Illinois app at circasports.com/Illinois-app. At circasports.com/Illinois-app to sign up today. If you haven't downloaded the app, you are missing out. The reason they encourage bettors to download and explore all sports betting apps available is because Circa is proud that they can beat almost every single line posted. Every time you're looking to make a bet, Circa should have the best line for you to bet. And they want you to compare lines from each sportsbook so you know when you are putting your money down that you get the best possible line. And Circa does not limit players based on their winnings. Every player has the same limits, unlike other books who do limit winning players. So if you are looking to maybe lay seven with the Purdue Boilermakers tonight in the national championship game, maybe you're looking to, is it lay seven? No, lay seven would be with the favorites.
Yeah.
So lay seven with UConn. Maybe you're thinking of taking that 7-point cushion with Purdue. Check out our friends over at Circa Sports Illinois. And even though they keep as little money as possible on large market bets like futures and golf tournaments, you got the Masters coming up on April 8th. So if you are looking to put down a Masters bet, go check out our friends over at Circa Sportsbook. They got Scottie Scheffler to win at plus 440, Jon Rahm 14-1, Rory McIlroy 15-1, Victor Hovland 30-1, and some guy named Tiger Woods at 195-1.
Donation.
That's a donation?
Yeah.
Hey, Tiger looked decent when he was out there.
It's a donation.
All right. Well, what's more of a donation? Tiger to win the Masters or at 1,000-1, the White Sox to win the World Series?
The White Sox won.
And that wasn't updated. I don't think that's been updated since the past couple of games. I really wonder if it's at like, at this point, 3,000-1.
To win the World Series.
I mean, they've played 10 games and it's 10 of the worst games that I've ever seen. Anyways, download the Circa Sports Illinois app at circasports.com/Illinois-app. We also have a Circa party coming up with the Bears draft party happening on April 25th and April 26th. That's presented by Circa Sportsbook. I think that Thursday's already sold out. So if you are looking for tickets and to join us on that Friday on April 6th at Joe's Bar on Weed Street, check out the Circa draft party with the CHGO Bears show. If you or somebody you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537. Text GMB to 833-234. Visit areyoureallywinning.com. Okay.
Plus, is that 150,000?
Oh, so 1,500-1.
Yes.
Oh, so, you know, $1 wins you 1,500? I don't know, Herb. We heard when they were playing the Braves, they had the same start as the 2021 Braves. I know the 2021 Braves' next six games went a lot differently than the White Sox, but you never know. Are you saying there's a chance?
Hey, I love our folks at Circa, but if you want to make that bet, you can just come to the studios right here on the west side. Just give it right to me. It's a donation. We'll go into, you know, improving this show and my wardrobe and such. You're just donating to Circa, then you're just giving them some money. You can even give it to them. You know, they work back into us, but it'll be quicker just to give it to me, and I'll tell you the White Sox ain't winning that.
But would you actually take someone, you know, someone gives you a dollar and like her, the White Sox are going to win the World Series in 2024. Would you pay them $1,500 if they won?
Yes.
All right. So, hey, if you're looking to take action, I don't know if this is a legal bookmaking by Herb, but watch out. So the White Sox, you brought up something with 300 runs scored.
Yes.
The only team that I can tell in a non-2020 year, and the year that's currently not going on in 2024, most teams don't have more than 70 runs. The only team that scored like the lowest amount of runs since 1961, the 1981 Toronto Blue Jays. Mm-hmm. They scored 329 runs, but they only went 37 and 69.
I don't think it was a strike year.
That's a strike year too?
81 was a strike year.
Yeah. Okay, so when was the... Okay, hold on. So I didn't take out 81 in my... So the 1972 California Angels scored 454 runs.
Mm.
I think 300... Oh,
we're going to break the fuck out of that.
No, come on. 300 is, I think, too low. The franchise record is 1968. That team went 67 and 95. They scored 463
runs. Who's scoring these runs, Sean? But who's, like... So I know, like, the Mazman has got the lineup out there. Who's scoring the runs out of that lineup? Like, Lopez doesn't get on base. Benintendi doesn't get on base. Moncada gets on base, makes errors. Sheets is playing way over his head. Vaughn is absolutely atrocious this year. Grossman gets on base, doesn't hit. Montgomery, I mean, he's a rookie. He's going to come up here and be scared. Fletcher sucks. And Lee is hitting 333. Like, who's getting runs? How are they going to drive in runs where they scored 11 of their 16 runs off of home runs? Who's hitting a home run there? Like, Moncada has none. Benintendi doesn't have any. Lopez has zero. Sheets has one. Vaughn has none. Grossman, none. Montgomery, none. Fletcher, none. Lee, one. Like, you have nobody there that's going to be actually hitting, and these guys already are horrendous with runners in scoring position. Even if they get singles or doubles, you know they're going to get out. And my guy, Nicky Lopez, yeah, he's been getting on base, and every time he tries to steal, he's out by a lot.
How many effing strike years were there? Michael Leroy is saying 1972 was a strike. So 94, 81, and 72? I got to brush up on baseball history.
81, yeah.
So if it's not 1972, then the worst team ever in runs scored is your 1968 Chicago White Sox. So they'd break their own record, 463 runs. They went 67 and 95.
We're coming for those Mets. We're coming for them.
Yeah.
Those 62 Mets. What, they won 40 games?
Oh, boy.
Will this team win 40 games?
It'll yes. Be hard. Yes, they will win 40 games. They went 40 and 120. The 1962 Mets went 40 and 120. I mean, their Pythagorean win theorem, where you take, you know, runs and allowed and whatever and runs scored, 50 and 110. So, right, I mean, they thought that, no, that's the 1962 okay. Mets. So, I mean, even the numbers thought the 1962 Mets would be better. I don't think that they win 45 games or less. I mean, that would be an atrocious year. Yeah. And I know that people have talked about firing Pedro Grifol. I don't see it happening. But if they lose less, or if they win less than 50 games, he is 100% getting fired. And if they lose or win less than 50 games for the rest of the year, Pedro Grifol, who has 110 losses in his career, is likely on pace to lose 200 games more or 200 games quicker than he won 100 games, which is honestly impressive. I got to be straight up. I mean, if you're that bad, at least be horrific, historically bad.
Yeah.
Be the worst manager ever.
Like, I think somebody wrote this earlier on Twitter. Like, we think about Terry Bevington as one of the worst managers in White Sox history, or even Robin Ventura. We'll take both of those guys right now, other than Pedro Grifol. Like, I know it's not his fault necessarily because managers don't matter that much, but also he's not inspiring any confidence. He's not getting these guys out of these doldrums. That Cleveland outfit, look at those people. Are those people much better than the White Sox? Like, yeah, you have a superstar in Jose Ramirez, and Josh Naylor always kills us, and, of course, Stephen Kwan at the top of the order, but...
I mean, we were laughing at their third hitter, David Fry. We didn't know who David Fry was.
There's nothing there. And they got 8 wins out of 10 games they played. And most of them were on the road.
Yeah.
This is their first home game. It's like Stephen Vogt's doing something right. He's first-year manager. They go from Tito Francona to this guy, and they're like, all right, we're just going to roll. You think they care that they lost Shane Bieber? Yes. But is it going to affect them that much? Probably not. They got probably some youngster in the minors coming up that's going to do just as well. Like, who's going to do that for the White Sox? I see that Ramos or Montgomery, but I would, hey, late in the year, I would love for them to come up when they're ready. But I don't want to rush their development. I don't want to have them up here with this losing culture and coming up here in May and then being this team. And then this is what they know that the major leagues is all about. This is their introduction into the major leagues. And they're counted on to actually perform when they get up here. I would rather them just get up here and after all the trades are made in August and then get those 2 months of service time, get those 2 months of actual play in the major leagues, and then you go into the offseason knowing what you need to improve on, what you need to sharpen up, And then 2025, you hit the ground a little bit more running at that time. And hopefully there's a whole new organization in here, including the general manager, including the manager.
I'm including the owner too. I'm truly at the point where I don't want to say the D word, but just like, it'd be a relief. I'm not trying to wish anyone's death, but he said it to Cranes that once he passes, the team will get sold. And it really does feel like that's what White Sox fans want.
Just do it earlier. I don't want to
sell it now. You can enjoy that money.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You can't take it to your grave.
Yeah. You say you're affected by these games and watching these games, or then you turn off the game after a while and have somebody tell you about it after. This is horrible. Like, what enjoyment are you having as an 87-year-old man watching this team, owning this team, knowing that your legacy is attached to this team? I don't know. Just sell them. You'll at least be like, hey, thank you for doing that before you pass, Jerry. We have some relief. We can get a different owner in here, and maybe that person won't be as good, better than you, but at least it won't be you. Because you're stubborn, you don't want to spend money on talent, and you just want us to go through this shit for 152 more games. It's not going to change until he leaves this organization.
And Chris Gamble asking a very important question. Benintendi isn't even a top 10 left fielder. How the fuck did he get that contract? Because the people that Jerry Reinsdorf put in charge had a... I don't know how to say this word.
Say it. Just say it.
A hard-on?
Yes.
A hard-on for Andrew Benintendi from the point that he was an Arkansas Razorback and they were drooling before the Red Sox were able to draft him. And then for 7 years, they were like, we got to get this guy on our team. And I don't know if it was the final move, but it was one of their last moves before they got fired. I really hate this team. And I know that Pedro said he's obsessed with winning and obsessed with trying to turn this team around. But I know you're looking for this Vaughn at bat. When you're going up against 91 and they were focusing in high up in the zone, you have to be able to generate power. When you're swinging at fastballs up in the zone at 91, you have to be able to generate power and get the ball out of the park or be able to drive it into the gaps. And the Sox just have not been able to do that. They don't have the talent. And as much as Pedro Grifol wants to be obsessed with this and all these players could be obsessed with trying to win, it's just a rotten, rotten organization. Do you want to talk a little bit about this at bat before we get into some more Tristan McKenzie, Tanner Bank stuff?
Yeah. It's the little things. And I know you don't have talent. The White Sox don't have a lot of talent. But Andrew Vaughn's picked third overall, I believe. And he was said to be MLB ready with his bat. It's year four. It's time to actually turn into from what they thought you were into what you should be right now. And this process that he went through with Tristan McKenzie in the fourth inning is irritating to me. You work in two straight balls. You go 2-0. You see where ball one and ball two are at. Ball three is in his zone. It is middle in, fastball at 91 miles per hour. He fouls it off late. Like, he fouls it off to the right side of the infield. Like, how can you do that? If you're ready for a 2-0 fastball, you should be following it off to the left side, to the pull side, if anything. But he fouls it off to the opposite field. Like, what is your process there? What are you looking for? He's been throwing fastballs the whole game, the majority of his pitches. This is what irritates me. Not ready to bat, right? Not ready to think about what this guy's going to be offering you. What's going on here? Like, he is just lost at the plate, and his development has gone into the crapper. Another first-round draft pick, that development has been gone. We just saw that the Angels, I think, brought up Carson Fulmer. He's a failure. Zach Birdie, failure. Nick Madrigal, failure. And Vaughn is quickly going into that failure category. You can't go into year five with this player. He has not shown that he is ready for the position. I know people are like, yes, he's going to go to the next round. I even thought that last year he was going to go from just a regular hitter to more of a power slash good hitter. He hasn't done that in his career. Like, if you're going to be this bad, at least sell out for power. Do something. You don't have to be the great hitter that you were projected to be. At least sell out for power and get 30 home runs. That's what Gallo does. Vaughn is just nothing. Not a great fielder, doesn't run fast, can't hit for average or power, and he's in the fourth spot. So he has all the opportunity to do this. So the process is all flawed with all these players, but especially Vaughn. I'm putting it on him. He is a high draft pick and supposed to be taking over for that first base lineage that the White Sox have had for a long time, and he's failing big time.
Why don't you stop me when you hear a great first-round draft pick? 2003, Brian Anderson, 15th overall. 2004, Josh Field, 18th overall. 2004, well, this wasn't a first-round pick. 2005, Lance Broadway, 15th overall. 2006, Kyle McCullough, 29th overall. 2007, Aaron Pareda, 25th overall. 2008, Gordon Beckham, 8th overall. 2009, Jared Mitchell, 23rd overall. 2010, Chris Sale, 13 overall.
Stop. Got one.
Well, hold on. I want to. This is just fun.
Okay.
2012, Courtney Hawkins, 13th overall.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, 2013, Tim Anderson, 17th overall.
He won a Silver Slugger. He won a batting title.
Yeah. I mean,
so development was there, but it fell off the table his last couple of years.
2014, Carlos Rodon, 3rd overall. That's because he worked his ass off.
There, but also all injured most of his White Sox career.
Right, and he worked his ass off to get a big contract. I mean, he fought injury, and then finally showed that talent at the worst possible time for the White Sox because then he was a free agent. 2015, Carson Fulmer, 8th overall. 2016, Zach Collins, 10th overall. Oof. 2017, Jake Berger, 11th overall. Same thing with Rodon, too, though.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he worked his ass off to get to this position and even be in Major League Baseball.
And
I mean,
Kenny's like, get your ass off my team immediately.
2018, Nick Madrigal, 4th overall. 2019, Vaughn, 3rd overall. Crochet, 2020, 11th overall. They got lucky. And then this is where it kind of switched because of what's-his-face taking over. Mike Shirley. You get Colson Montgomery, Noah Schultz. And then I know Jacob Gonzalez didn't have a great start to his White Sox career. But that might be the worst of the three. And, hey, if you go 2-for-3, which not most White Sox hitters can do, we would take that. I think, Sarah, can you refresh me real quick? I think we got to take a break at this point. How many viewers do we have, though?
We have 171.
What?
47 likes, though.
Make it make sense.
Make it make sense.
Like Sarah says, make it make sense. We are very happy that even though this team is probably breaking your heart right now, that you are tuning in to the White Sox postgame show. So we really do appreciate you spending some time with Herb and I. And for that, we're going to let you know about a great deal over at Salerno's Pizza. If you are looking to upgrade your White Sox viewing experience, head over to our friends Salerno's on Tap, located at 1201 West Grand Avenue in Chicago, or call them for carryout and delivery at 312-666-3444, or go to salernospizza.com. And we haven't mentioned the best part yet. Mention CHGO and get half off your pizza. That's not you order a large, you get half of a large. That is, you order a large, you get half off the price.
Yes.
So an insane deal from our friends over at Salerno's Pizza. Head to salernospizza.com or for carryout and delivery, call 312-666-3444. There's some leftovers from Salerno's in our fridge when they had the WrestleMania watch party on Saturday. I had some on Sunday, and boy, were they fantastic. And I'm glad that Jay somehow could not eat. Yeah. I mean, how are the leftovers when Jay Sawatzky's here? Let's go.
Well, I'm fat guy, and he's out here not eating delicious pizza.
I think Rick Camp would probably kick him off the podcast if he knew.
I mean, should be. All right. I know that I just spent the last 30-plus minutes crapping on the White Sox, but you know what is good? As I agree with them on one thing. It is better at the ballpark to watch this team than watch it on TV. And we've gone to, three or four White Sox games in our iteration here as takeovers when Sean and I go out and meet some of the people who are out there watching. So we've went to the Toronto Blue Jays game in 2022. They got housed that day. We went to the Cubs White Sox game in Guaranteed Rate Field where the Cubs came back from a 7-2 deficit. White Sox lost that game. And then we went to the walk-off home run versus Christopher Morel at Wrigley. All losses, but we had an extraordinary time. It is the White Sox who are causing the pain of those teams, but those times out there are great. And we got three more set up for this year. Toronto on Memorial Day, May 27th. You can join us out there at Section 147. We have June 24th versus the Dodgers. If you don't come and see the White Sox as you're going to see a bad game or bad team, come and see the actual good teams like the Dodgers. You can see Mookie Betts. You can see Shohei Ohtani. You can see Freddie Freeman. Like, come and see that and come and see with us. We'll cuss them out in the section 147. And then, of course, August 9th versus the Cubby. Get to see Cody Bellinger, get to see Michael Bush, etc., and fireworks after the show. So come to one of our takeovers. And if you are a CHEO diehard, you get 20% off all events, all t-shirts. So become a CHEO diehard right now. The description, the link is in the description of this podcast right now. Like I said, the seats will be in section 147. Join us. The diehard members get 20% off. And Sean talked about earlier, the Bears are doing a draft party. The Thursday game or Thursday viewing is already sold out at Joe's on Wheat Street, but you still have tickets available for Friday. So go to allchgo.com and get your tickets for that. Get your tickets for our takeover. Get one of these great shirts. And when you become a diehard member, you get a free t-shirt and 20% off of events, 20% off of future merch. So Sarah just put the link right there, allchgo.com/join-diehard/. So go there right now. Join us at these games. We're going to have a great time at the games, even though the White Sox are going to suck at baseball.
Yes. I have one question for you, kind of a, what's it called? Like a, trying to just figure this out. So click to pick. They've got shut out 4 times.
Yeah. Out of 10 games, yeah.
What do we do if they get shut out? Like, nothing. I don't think that anyone should get any points.
No, no one gets points. The people in the Discord, I was about to award myself a victory for a click to pick for Yoan Moncada I picked a couple weeks ago, but they scored 0 runs. So we had set precedent in the first game, I believe, where if they don't score any runs, it's hard to have a click to pick. So if they score 0 runs, no one's winning click to pick. And we're doing this contest with myself, Vinny, and Sean, and a lucky CHGO diehard member. So another reason you could become a diehard, you can win a free t-shirt if you beat all three of us in the stat week that we're going on click to pick. 0 points for anybody this week. Last week, Jarrett got 1 point, but Vinny and Sean also had 13 and 9, respectively.
Yeah, lucky you. You get to stab in the dark and see if you could try to pick the White Sox that will get on base. It's just is horrendous. And did you see the John Fisher stuff where they announced that they're going to Sacramento for 2025 to 2027 with a possible year for 2028? The John Fisher, the owner of the Oakland A's, held a press conference at Sutter Health Park where in Sacramento, where the A's will be playing. And he said, calls Sutter Health Park the most intimate park in Major League Baseball, and says he can't wait to watch MLB's top stars like Aaron Judge hit home runs here. Clearly, John Fisher could not name an active Oakland A. Do you think that if we somehow got Jerry Reinsdorf in an elevator and had the elevator pitch, you know, scenario with a minute with Jerry Reinsdorf, gave Jerry Reinsdorf 60 seconds to name an active Chicago White Sox, do you think he could do it?
No.
So not counting Aloy and Luis Robert Jr.?
No.
Maybe Crochet?
No, he wouldn't know him.
You wouldn't give him Crochet?
No.
It's a first-round pick.
He's not watching these games. Jerry is sitting at his house doing nothing, twiddling his thumbs, collected his money. That's it. He's not watching these games. You think the 87-year-old billionaire is watching this 1-9 team, scored 16 runs? No, he doesn't care. You could tell by how he goes about his business. He might act as if when the microphones are in front of him, but he doesn't care. He's just like, some concessions are good, man. Parking, man, it's top notch.
Look at all these fans coming out. 10,000 fans in the cold rain against the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, this is so great, man. And his investors or his co-owners are like, baby, keep on doing what you're doing, Jerry. We don't have to put any effort in, and we make money hand over feet. Good.
I mean, there was an interesting thing that I saw, and I don't know if it's true or not, so I should probably spread misinformation. But it came from a trusted source that works at the ballpark. Apparently, you know, Jerry only owns like 19% of the Sox, and one of the other controlling owners owns this horrible security system, and that's why it takes forever to get into Guaranteed Rate Field, is because, hey, we get to use our system to get people in, and we get to make money off of it, and it doesn't matter if it's good or not because, hey, we're making money.
Yeah.
So
what are you going to do? Not come to the game? You already bought the ticket. So yeah, we're going to have this dumbass system where everybody's in a line forever. And don't even start with a giveaway. That's like 30 to 40 minutes minimum in the line trying to get into a game. And so, yeah, I've been to 20 ballparks by far, guaranteed rate is the worst to get into when you get into the ballpark. Cincinnati, you barely have to do anything. They have just automatic, like, sensors you walk through, metal detectors you walk through, and you're in the ballpark. You're immediately in. Same thing with Wrigley. Wrigley is 1,000 years old. Same thing. You just go in, put your keys in the thing, and go straight through.
And hey, as we learned from Kevin Kaduk, we know that CHGO or that Cubs security guards listen to CHGO White Sox. So hey, you'll even deal with Sox fans at Wrigley Field. It's just sad. And also, we don't get a full wrap up of this story, but it seemed like Jerry was just able to bury it. Not only does it take forever to get through the system, you also could apparently get shot and bring in a gun to Guaranteed Rate Field. I know that the shot came from outside the stadium.
Yeah.
That makes the neighborhood look crazy unsafe. And I just think that it's impossible that a magic bullet could have been shot from over the highway and into section 161 and magically land into this woman's thigh or whatever it was. So I don't know. It just seems like the security that gets you into the stadium is pretty bad.
I just don't like the people who are supposed to be respected journalists spreading misinformation about ladies hiding guns in their fat folds. So those people should be having apologies to said lady. And that lady doesn't have a lawsuit. I would advise her maybe to have it, because no one's coming back and saying that she evidently had it. There was no gunpowder on her.
Right.
So, you know, I think it did come from outside. But no one's updating us on that.
No. And I think it's just important, because if we're going to complain about the security and that's just open, why not bring it up? Just because this team has been pathetic to watch. Again, we are very surprised and happy to see 144 of you watching. We really do appreciate all of the support for this terrible team through 10 games. We will be back tomorrow for a post-game show. We'll be back on Wednesday for a post-game show. And on Thursday, we will have an off-day show as well. Make sure you're hitting the thumbs up button. I think the only other thing that I want to bring up, you brought up the Jose Ramirez homer. They brought in Tim Hill with the bases loaded, and he just hit Andre Jimenez with a 2-strike count, 0-2, and he just hits him, drove in a run. We also saw Braden Shumake make an error, which gave the Guardians a run. So just completely sloppy baseball from the White Sox.
That's another thing, Sean. They're not playing what their acronym is supposed to be. They're not playing fearless. They're not playing aggressive. They're not playing selfless, and definitely not technically sound. You just talked about Braden Shumake's error. I talked about Yoan's two errors. Robbie Grossman throws a ball over the cutoff man's head that Yoan Moncada has to dive to stop. Like, you have to throw that ball into the cutoff man. They're playing just dumb baseball. Nothing has changed from last year except for the players that are in those uniforms, and the players that are in those uniforms are worse than the players that were in the 61 and 101 team.
Amen. I'm taking a little book out of Homeland Security's playbook here. They had the Homeland Security Advisory System way back when, and remember, it had all those colors.
Yeah.
Low, guarded, elevated, high, severe. White Sox nonsense system, I think we're at a high. I don't think it's severe, because I think this team could actually get worse. I think that if there was an injury to Yoan Moncada, this would easily be the worst baseball team ever fielded. The pitching has been surprisingly good, and the fact that they are 1-9 through these first 10 games, I think shows you how horrendous this team is, to put it without profanity. Anything else you got, Herb?
I mean, the only thing we have to look forward to is Garrett Crochet, and I hope he doesn't pitch a lot this year, because save him for a year that might count in 2025. This year is cashed. There's no coming back from this. And I know that Pedro's like, it's early. It's not. It's over. You're losing 0-8 to a terrible division.
But they're obsessed. He's obsessed with winning, Herb.
Stop being obsessed with it and just be regular with it.
All this work in the hitting cages. They're doing all this work to make it better, and they're 0-8.
Maybe stop trying hard and just work smarter. Like, stop trying to be like Joe Madden used to say, you know, sometimes just don't come in and do batting cage work, because obviously it's not working. Do the opposite of what you've been doing these first 10 games. If it's going out tonight in Cleveland, going across the street to the Thirsty Parrot and just getting obliterated and having a great time with your people,
damn,
do it.
I didn't know you knew Cleveland like that.
It's a boring-ass town that has like four bars right there around the around the stadium. Do it. Have a great time in Cleveland. I mean, you guys got to enjoy their lives. If you think we're miserable, I can't imagine how they're are. They're professionals. I think they feel this pain a little bit more than we do. But if you keep on doing the same old dumb stuff every game,
but
you got to have some fun in your life. You can't. They can't be going through this all the season, and then this is going to be attached to them for the rest of their lives.
Do you feel like they
just
feel
go have a great time?
There's so many people with 1 year contracts. Do you think it's just like, oh, well, I'm not going to be on this team next year?
Well,
like,
then you're going to be on no team. You're putting this. This is your resume. Like, who's going to take a player on this team that's hitting 188? From the next year.
Oh, I was thinking more.
Right,
of the
dog?
I was thinking more of the pitchers.
I agree, dog.
To be honest, I wasn't thinking of any of the hitters. I mean,
yep, I agree too, dog.
Okay, all right. Well, let's end the show.
Fine, it's fine, Joey. Keep it open.
That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him at EchnerWall23. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. Thank you to Lewis Klein, who said, I've logged more minutes on your podcast than White Sox baseball this year. We appreciate everyone for hanging out. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. We do have Cubs pre and post game coming up later on today. So if you are looking for some more Chicago sports coverage, see CHGO has you covered. Thanks to Sarah for producing the show, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Oh, come on.
Oh, pants.
Yeah, look at you.
Better than the White Sox. I can catch the balls.
We can end the show, but I'm going to throw this right over the camera.
Ah. You all silly like the man.